Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
In a historic milestone, other industries recently surpassed oil. Think of it. All of your other industries now have surpassed oil. I don't know if a lot of people will understand what that means. It's so big to make up a majority of the Saudi economy for the very first time ever. So think of that. Other industries are now bigger even than oil, which is always going to be a big monster. It's a big one. But that's a great tribute to you and economic development properly used.
So I was watching this speech yesterday, Saudi Arabia speech, about 45 minutes long that the president gave. And, you know, for the first 15 minutes, 20 minutes, I was just banging my head against the why am I doing this? This is such a waste of my time. This is such a dumb speech. It's just the typical nonsense, bloviating, blah, 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 blah. And then he started talking about the Saudi economy having transformed itself so that oil oil is still the primary thing, but that it's not, compared to all the other things, it's now number two. Like, if you batch all the other stuff together, oil is no longer the total, which is an interesting, I mean, that's an interesting bit of progress for them. And he started talking about, you know, what the Middle East is doing in Saudi Arabia and other countries.
For our eyes, a new generation of leaders is transcending the ancient conflicts of tired divisions of the past and forging a future where the Middle East is defined by commerce, not chaos, where it exports technology, not terrorism, and where people of different nations, religions, and creeds are building cities together, not bombing each other out of existence. We don't want that.
See, what he's starting to do in this speech, and he did it sometimes very overtly, praising, right, the king, and talking about him and being nice to him. And I know the critics will say, well, he's currying favor with dictators and oppressive regimes, and Saudi Arabia has a terrible human rights record. And, okay, I mean, all true. Yeah, okay. But also, I think he understands these people and their vanity, and praising them is a great way to get them to do what you want them to do. It's like classic Dale Carnegie stuff. Give people a positive reputation to live up to and then praise them when they get even close to it. Because I see this, the more I listened to this speech, the more I thought his goals, what he's laying out as a foreign policy in this speech, are amazing. And his method of trying to accomplish them through what I viewed as a persuasive, friend-making, how can we get the people that we want to behave better to actually behave better? I thought it was kind of a masterful demonstration of, again, manipulation, persuasion, friend-making, Dale Carnegie kind of stuff. And I know the criticism. I've watched nightly news last night. They didn't get any of this. They did not understand what happened. All they can talk about is the $400 million plane, and that's fine. And all they can talk about is the deals that the Trump family is making in the Middle East, and that's fine. And all they can talk about is how he kept saying how great the king was and how the things he does for the king and the Trump Tower, you know, Riyadh. Okay, fine. But you missed the point entirely. What he was saying was that Saudi Arabia, has, in particular, but others as well, have turned a corner economically, have kind of come into the modern world. Now, they're still not Western-style democracies, not in any stretch of the imagination. But the alternative to Saudi Arabia is, you know, Iran. And we want Saudis, not Iranians, not in terms of ethnicity or even in terms of religion, but what we want is culturally and economically, because if we can make prosperity, then we can make friends. On the other hand, we have violence and warfare, and we do not want that. And the long history of trying to remake other countries in America's image has had a very, very mixed record, and he says a failed record.
And it's crucial for the wider world to note this great transformation has not come from Western interventionalists or flying people in beautiful planes, giving you lectures on how to live and how to govern your own affairs. No, the gleaming marvels of Riyadh and Abu Dhabi were not created by the so-called nation builders, neocons, or liberal nonprofits like those who spent trillions and trillions of dollars failing to develop Kabul, Baghdad, so many other cities.
I think he meant Kabul, but that's okay. Yeah, there's this long history of debate within American foreign policy circles of, you know, do we nation build? Do we force other countries to try to do things right? Do we, you know, carrot and stick them? Do we invade them? Or do we gently encourage them to do right? And when they do, help. And until they're going to depose their own dictators and create their own freedoms, it's not our place to get in there and do it for them. Because whenever we do, it only makes things worse. You know, Saddam Hussein is terrible except for what comes after, is kind of the idea. You know, Muammar Gaddafi is terrible until what comes after. You know, the reason dictators exist is because cultures want dictators. And when you take out the dictator and think, well, people will just yearn to breathe free, the freedom that we've given them, yeah, it's not worked so great. You know, Afghanistan, you can take out the Taliban. Well, guess who runs Afghanistan today? The Taliban. Why? Because we didn't do enough trying to culture build? Well, I mean, maybe, but also cultures and people and viewpoints exist for reasons, and it would be great if they would embrace the principles of Western democracy, but they don't. And so how can you win in a world full of problematic cultures and countries? Well, the way Trump is trying to do it is to find places to praise them for success and then teach them, you know, or encourage them to keep doing it because the alternative is Iran.
That the birth of a modern Middle East has been brought by the people of the region themselves, the people that are right here, the people that have lived here all their lives, developing your own sovereign countries, pursuing your own unique visions and charting your own destinies in your own way. It's really incredible what you've done.
So it's not isolationist in the traditional sense, but it's certainly not interventionist or neoconservatism or, you know, nation building at all. But he is trying to accomplish the ends without embracing the means that the neocons and the interventionists have been using for the last, 30, 40 years. We'll come back to this in a second, because, again, I think this speech was incredibly interesting and important and a very savvy, frankly, very savvy speech to the Middle Eastern countries to whom he was addressing yesterday. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives. John?
Brought to you by Costello's Butcher Shop and Deli, carrying a full line of meats, fine wines, and cheeses, corner of Lillian Highway and Fairfield Drive. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are still looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Thanks so much, John. So back to President Trump yesterday in Saudi Arabia, talking to the Saudis about their successes, praising them for their successes, and trying to build a relationship with them, and saying that, you know, basically the Americans have done it wrong, the interventionists have done it wrong, they've ruined more than they fixed, you guys have figured out how to do it on your own terms.
In the end, the so-called nation builders wrecked far more nations than they built, and the interventionists were intervening in complex societies that they did not even understand themselves. They told you how to do it, but they had no idea how to do it themselves.
And there's some truth to that, too. You know, the fact that America created this kind of system is hard to understand and is not necessarily a thing that can be duplicated so easily with other people. In fact, if you've ever read de Tocqueville or any of the historical analysis of why this country is what it is, there's a lot of factors that went into it, and it's not at all obvious that you can go into another country and manufacture the conditions or the values or the basic beliefs and habits that people have that will produce the kind of free, liberal Western society that we have and we want everybody to enjoy. Do we believe in universal human rights? We do. But can you accomplish a society that produces those so easily? Well, the answer from history is no.
Peace, prosperity, and progress ultimately came not from a radical rejection of your heritage, but rather from embracing your national traditions and embracing that same heritage that you love so dearly. And it's something only you could do. You achieved a modern miracle, the Arabian way. That's a good way.
And let's not be naive. You know, Saudi Arabia produced the ideology that wound up producing, you know, terrorism in the world and Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, the Wahhabi sect within SUNNI flavor of Islam, you know, that's a problem, okay? And Saudi Arabia is certainly no paragon of human rights. You know, women's rights, dissident rights, journalism, travel, whether you believe in them or not, you certainly would have to acknowledge that sexual rights are very repressed within Saudi Arabia. So is it a great shining example of, you know, an open society? Oh, no. No, it's nobody wants to go live there from here. But when your alternative, again, is condemnation, criticism, stifling, soft or cold war, like with Iran, you know, is that working? Well, he drew the contrast yesterday. And also in the backdrop, keep in mind that you have the Saudi flavor of Islam, right? You have the Sunni Islam that they represent, and then you have the Shia Islam, which is Iran's product. And, you know, Trump isn't exactly picking sides in this because he's going to talk about Syria soon. But still, I mean, there's an element of that as well. You know, your way is prosperous. Maybe the Iranians can embrace this. That was his get to. And it was an amazing thing to get to.
You have been constructing the world's tallest skyscrapers in Jeddah and Dubai. Tehran's 1979 landmarks are collapsing into rubble and dust. They had it going for a little while under a much different system, but those buildings are largely falling apart, falling down, while you're building some of the world's biggest and most incredible infrastructure projects, buildings, all sorts of things you're building that nobody's ever even seen before.
Saudi Arabia is working, prospering. Iran is failing, even though they largely have access to, I mean, Iran is an amazingly rich country historically, right? I mean, it's Persia. Think Babylon. Think oil wealth. Think intellectual capability. Think, like, I mean, really amazing potential. But what is it today?
Iran's decades of neglect and mismanagement have left the country plagued by rolling blackouts lasting for hours a day, all the time you hear about it. While your skill has turned dry deserts into fertile farmland, Iran's leaders have managed to turn green farmland into dry deserts as their corrupt water mafia, it's called it the water mafia, causes droughts and empty riverbeds. They get rich, but they don't let the people have any of it.
And they have dragged down the entire region through their influence and their terrible mismanagement of what they have in terms of people or culture, history, resources.
And then, of course, there's the key difference at the root of it all. While the Arab states have focused on becoming pillars of regional stability and world commerce, Iran's leaders have focused on stealing their people's wealth to fund terror and bloodshed abroad. Most tragic of all, they have dragged down an entire region with them. Countless lives were lost in the Iranian effort to maintain a crumbling regime in Syria. Look at what happened with Syria.
Yeah, Syria, which has changed leadership in the last year, and we're now trying to figure out what to do with them.
In Lebanon, their Hezbollah proxies have pillaged the hopes of a nation whose capital, Beirut, was once called the Paris of the Middle East. Can you imagine? All of this misery and so much more was entirely avoidable, absolutely avoidable. And Mohammed knew that. He knew that. Smart people knew that. If only the Iranian regime had focused on building their nation up instead of tearing the region down.
I mean, on the one hand, he's praising, you know, the Sunnis, the Saudis, and that's going to not sit well with the Shias, which is the Iranians, but he's praising them in a way that is trying to give the opportunity for the Shias, the Iranians, to really change course and maybe step up. It's the deal maker. It's the, I mean, he's laying out an economic opportunity and trying to show a way forward that nobody almost even dares to imagine possible, but that you could get economic prosperity like you see in Jordan. You know, Israel, one of the things they did to make peace with Jordan is they taught them how to farm. You know, they helped them, and now they have a secure neighbor on the eastern side of the river that they wish they could do with other countries like Egypt or with Lebanon or with Syria, and it just hasn't worked. But it worked with Jordan, and I think President Trump is kind of following, and I don't know that this is his idea or this is Rubio's idea or who's advising him on all this, but the idea that you could maybe say to Iran, we're willing to work with you if you will just come down this path, because it works.
And I'm here today not merely to condemn the past chaos of Iran's leaders, but to offer them a new path and a much better path toward a far better and more hopeful future. As I've shown repeatedly, I am willing to end past conflicts and forge new partnerships for a better and more stable world, even if our differences may be very profound, which obviously they are in the case of Iran.
And that willingness to, for example, call little Marco Rubio in his little hands when he's a contender against you for the presidency, but to turn around and hire him as your Secretary of State, the willingness to bury grudges and move along and forget the past, although he also does not. But that idea of international diplomacy, you know, we're friends with Japan, we're friends with Germany. We did kind of fight against them for a while. We're friends with Britain. We did kind of fight against them for a while. Could we become friends with Iran again? Could we become friends or be more friends with Saudi Arabia? Could that be a way forward for prosperity in the Middle East and peace? Anyway, it really interesting speech. We're only about halfway through it. I'll get to the rest next hour at 7:10. But I don't think the coverage of this through the national news media, particularly on the TV last night, was in any way close to comprehension of what he was doing or why it might work. It was just all about the plane and the conflicts of interest. And it's not that those things don't matter, or that the human rights violations by the Saudis. It's not that those things don't matter. But see what he's trying to do. And it's a grand plan. I mean, what's the worst that could happen? It fails. Well, we've already got that. John Pickens has Traffic on the Fives.
And I totally agree with you on that statement about the coverage last night. Mm.
Anyway, you would have never picked this up from any of the national TV
and I did,
broadcast last
and
night.
And I learned more just in the past few minutes. Anyway, no accidents to let you know about right now. If you are on 98 eastbound, just east of Navarre Beach Bridge, you're going to see maybe a 5 to 7 minute delay through that construction zone. Other than that, you are looking good. I'm John Pickens with your Traffic on the Fives.
Why do you love your favorite pair of jeans? What keeps you connected to your oldest friends? How do you know that the solution you seek is right for you? The answer is simple. It's the fit. And at Pinair Credit Union, we believe your finances should fit you perfectly. It's the right checking account for how you spend your time and money. It's the right loan for where you are and where you're headed next. It's local banking that's as comfortable as your favorite pair of jeans. Join us at Pinair.org. You'll fit right in. Pinair Credit Union is insured by NCUA Equal Opportunity Lender.
Why is Bray Jewelers the best place to buy an engagement ring? Come in and see our selection. I promise you, we have more diamond engagement rings than you'll see anywhere in the panhandle of Florida. But it's what you do for people that they don't expect that they remember. The little things that we do, we want to deliver special experiences for you at Bray. We love doing what we do, and we love making people happy. We want every person that walks into the store to feel like you're part of our family. I want everybody to have an amazing experience at Bray Jewelers.
Not everyone who handles your personal information is as careful as you are, which might explain why there's a victim of identity theft every 5 seconds in the United States. Fortunately, there's LifeLock. LifeLock will monitor hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity. And if your identity's stolen, a U.S.-based restoration specialist will fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save 40% your first year with my name, Clay, as your promo code at LifeLock.com. LifeLock. For the threats you can't control, terms apply.
Tune in tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel as Regeneration Station will be here discussing how they can help individuals relieve severe pain through their latest in Scalar and Biophotonic Energy Room. This can allow cell regeneration, improve immune function, detoxify the body, elevate moods, and assist in balancing right and left hemispheres of the brain to increase energy levels. It's the Regeneration Station tomorrow at 9 on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, Pep Talk. Mornings at 9, right after Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Rule number one for surviving Zombieland, cardio.
Yeah, you got to work out, you got to limber up, and you got to make sure you're prepared to run. 6:29 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, Federal Aviation Administration officials are meeting today with major airlines that operate out of the Newark Airport in New Jersey following the massive flight disruptions there. The FAA looking to cut down on the number of daily takeoffs and landings there because of their Apollo 13 era equipment, apparently. Washington, D.C. is about to get a new acting U.S. attorney, Fox News host Jeanine Pirro, being sworn in by the Justice Department today. The 73-year-old former prosecutor and judge was picked to replace interim U.S. attorney Ed Martin after his nomination ran into trouble. Andrew, do you know what today's national day is?
Oh, no. I see. It's the 14th.
National Buttermilk Biscuit Day.
Oh, all right. But time to make some biscuits and gravy. All right.
That's not it. There's some more, too. It's also National Receptionist's Day, National Dance Like a Chicken Day, and National Decency Day and National Third Shift Workers Day.
It cannot simultaneously be National Decency Day, National Biscuit Day, and also National Dance Like a Chicken Day.
Look, this world moves fast. In 2025, we got too many days. We got to combine them.
I can't put all that together in my head. But, you know, okay,
so dance like a chicken while eating a buttermilk biscuit and working your third shift job.
As a receptionist. All right, David, Yes. Thanks so much for the update. Coming up next, very interesting speech given by Mayor Reeves and Captain Newman at the Navy Days Ball on Friday.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Trump is in Doha, Qatar, his second stop in the Middle East. The Qatari government's offering a luxury jet to be used as Air Force One.
Some people say, oh, you shouldn't accept gifts for the country. My attitude is, why wouldn't I accept a gift? We're giving to everybody else. Why wouldn't I accept a gift?
The president with Fox's Sean Hannity, top House Democrat Hakeem Jeffries.
A $400 million flying palace is an unconstitutional gift to this president or any president.
President Trump says the jet will be eventually retired to his presidential library. The Menendez brothers are re-sentenced for their parents' 1989 murder. They're now eligible for parole.
You have brought hope to this family that we didn't see coming.
That's cousin Anna Maria Baralt thanking everybody involved. The brothers say the murders were self-defense after years of sexual abuse by their father. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 6:31 at News Radio 92.3. It is 70 degrees right now. Beautiful, partly cloudy skies this morning. We'll get more on our forecast with Brooke Richardson and Channel 3 in just a few minutes. Pensacola Mayor D.C. Reeves says he's proud to have UWF as a part of the community and says he'll be forever grateful for the efforts of UWF President Dr. Martha Saunders.
She left University of West Florida in a significantly better place than she found it. It was already in a great place, and she made it even better. And so hats off to amazing work that she's done there. Sad to see her go. And
those comments coming as Dr. Saunders has officially submitted her resignation this week as president following a committee meeting where she was questioned by several newly appointed trustees about DEI initiatives at the university dating back years into her tenure. She served as UWF president since 2017. During that time, the university's achieved record enrollment numbers. Mayor Reeves touted Dr. Saunders' willingness to cooperate with the city on various projects. Escambia County's Sea Turtle Patrol says they found the first nest on Perdido Key for this year. It's the earliest nest recorded on Perdido Key and ties for the earliest nest ever recorded on Pensacola Beach. According to Escambia County officials, May and June are the busiest months for sea turtles in the area. Eggs incubate for about 60 days before the baby turtles would venture out into the Gulf. Pensacola police investigating a shots fired incident in the parking lot of a local convenience store yesterday. That happened at about 11:30 on Tuesday morning in the parking lot of the 24/7 Mart at Pace and Cervantes. Nobody was hit by the gunfire so far. Police say there is no suspect information. The Florida Hurricane Catastrophe Fund will have about $6.7 billion in cash this year to pay claims, along with access to $3.25 billion in pre-event bonds. The program offers low-cost reinsurance to insurers for major hurricane claims with the capacity to cover up to $17 billion in losses. Estimated losses from last year's Hurricane Milton are at around $3 billion. Losses from Hurricane Ian in 2022 are projected at $8.5 billion. The CAT Fund provides low-cost backup coverage to insurers who have to meet certain deductibles before tapping into those funds after major storms. Rick Scott wants to reduce the influence China has on U.S. college campuses. Scott announced yesterday he's reintroducing a bill that would prevent DHS grants from being used at schools with any ties to the Chinese Communist Party. He says China's been known for espionage and theft of American research and intellectual property. And Governor DeSantis was in Ohio yesterday calling for reform on congressional term limits. He was there to encourage Ohio officials to support a resolution calling for those term limits. DeSantis says Florida is one of a dozen states that have passed the resolutions through both chambers of its legislature, calling for a term limits convention. The support of two-thirds of the states are needed to call that convention. The governor says Washington, D.C. will never fix itself and says term limits would force members of Congress to focus on accomplishments, more on accomplishments, less on reelection. It's 6:35 at News Radio 92.3. Let's get a look at our traffic on the fives with John Pickens.
Brought to you by Barberry Plumbing. When it's time to call a plumber, call the best of the bay winner, Barberry Plumbing, at 477-8782. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are looking good. Even Highway 90, 98, 9 Mile, and Highway 29 are flowing smoothly this morning. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
Thank you very much, John. Now our Channel 3 forecast with Brooke Richardson.
We are going to have a beautiful day today with partly sunny skies, high near 83 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 73. For Thursday, mostly sunny skies, high near 85. Thursday night, temperatures dropping near 75 degrees. On Friday, keeping the sunshine around with a high near 86. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 75. Stay connected to Channel 3 News First Morning Weather Team. Download the WEAR-TV Weather app. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
Thank you very much, Brooke. 69 degrees right now. Our next news at 7 and breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. Treasury yields inched lower this morning as investors assessed the state of the U.S. economy amid a tame inflation report and a U.S.-China trade agreement. The 10-year Treasury yield was down over 3 basis points to 4.468%. Brewer Anheuser-Busch has announced plans to invest $300 million in its facilities across the United States this year. Some of the money will also go to a new regional technical excellence center facility in Columbus, Ohio, and a new digital credentialing system to help veterans pursue manufacturing jobs. Officials said New Jersey's Newark Liberty Airport had just 3 air traffic controllers on duty on Monday, which was well short of the 14 called for. The staffing shortage forced air regulators to delay arriving flights for up to 7 hours. Futures are slightly higher. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials dropped 269, the NASDAQ up 301, the S&P 500 up 42. Once again, futures are slightly higher. That's your money now.
Are you living with dry AMD? If so, you could be on the road to geographic atrophy, or GA, a condition that leads to retinal cell death and permanent vision loss. But with Izervay, you can
slow it down and get it going slower.
Izervay slows GA progression by targeting a key source of retinal cell death, which may help preserve your vision longer. Izervay, or Avastin Captid Pegol, is a prescription eye injection used to treat GA. Don't take it if you have an infection or active swelling in or around your eye. Izervay can cause eye infection, retinal detachment, or increased risk of wet AMD. Izervay may temporarily increase eye pressure. Your vision may be impaired after an eye injection or exam. Don't delay. Ask your doctor about Izervay today.
Izervay gets GA going slower.
Visit Izervay.com. That's Izervay.com. Paid for by Astellas Pharma.
It's spring at Anderson Subaru, the perfect time to refresh your ride. With 3.9% for 63 months on 2025 Subaru Outback models, or get 3.9% for 48 months on 2025 Forester models and 2025 Crosstrek models. At Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you.
Things keep getting bigger and better at Daryl Sewing of Pensacola. Daryl Sewing is the largest sewing machine dealer in the Pensacola area, offering a variety of sewing machines, sergers, and embroidery systems, plus a large selection of sewing machine furniture, craft supplies, and fabrics. Financing is available too. Call them today, 850-438-5444. Daryl Sewing, located at 6705 North Davis Highway, between Creighton and Burgess. Online at sewinginpensacola.com.
Hi, I'm Terrence A. Gross. As many of you know, I am a local board-certified personal injury lawyer, and I have practiced in this community for almost 40 years. Our law firm handles only people that have been injured due to the negligence of another. Join me this Wednesday at 10:30 on Pep Talk as we discuss all aspects of personal injury law.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Are you looking for the best news in talk radio in Pensacola? Then tune in to News Radio Pensacola. We're your source for the latest news, weather, and traffic, as well as in-depth interviews with local and national leaders. We also have the best talk radio lineup in town, with hosts that are passionate about the issues that matter to you. So whether you're looking to stay informed or just want to hear some great conversation, News Radio Pensacola is the place for you. News Radio Pensacola. Informative, local, dependable.
Pensacola was named as Florida's World War II Heritage City. Let that sink in for a moment. In a state of military presence in nearly every corner, it is Pensacola that holds that singular title. We were chosen for this honor because of our immense contributions to the war effort during World War II, and it's because of the way we continue to preserve that history today.
Mayor D.C. Reeves speaking at the Navy Days Gala Ball on Friday at the atrium in the National Naval Aviation Museum. I was there. It was a great event, as it's now the second Navy Days event, which is kind of it's a fleet week without the fleet, because in order to have fleet week designated, you have to have actual ships. And, you know, that's just not been the practice or the availability because we're just not that kind of port. But, you know, we do a lot of other things. There was a parade. There was a golf tournament. There was activities and there was the ball. And what we're trying to do is create this thing year over year that will grow into a cultural event and particularly a pro-military event. And again, Mayor Reeves was the keynote speaker at the gala at the museum on Friday. Good event, as always.
During the Second World War, as the Reeves household perhaps knows better than anyone as of 10 days ago, Pensacola didn't just support the war, we helped win the war. Our base trained tens of thousands of aviators. Almost half of our naval aviators who served in the war were trained here. Our citizens volunteered, sacrificed, and stood united behind the mission.
And for those of you who are from here, this might be almost too familiar territory. You sometimes forget. For people who are not from here, it's good to know. I can tell you that as a person who has not only lived here for 11 years, I didn't know Pensacola from anything. Moving, I couldn't have told you where it was on a map. I probably had heard of it, but you know, I couldn't have told you certainly any of the essential naval and other military history that comes out of Pensacola. And that's why I always appreciate reminders of these things. And I think kind of the Reeves family story here is kind of intriguing.
The war touched every household here. My grandmother, Goldie Reeves, in fact, is an example of that. She was dainty in her later years. She led the reef-making art class at her church. In her earlier years, she was a badass, becoming one of the first female jet engine mechanics on NAS Pensacola during the war. Our community rose to meet the moment with resolve and patriotism.
I mean, that's not Rosie the Riveter, but, you know, it's that same genre, right? You know, what did you say her name was? Goldie? Goldie the Riveter? Anyway, she was, you know, worked on the jets, which is pretty amazing.
That legacy still lives on. It lives in this museum. It lives in our memorials and historic districts. It lives in our stories, our veterans, and our students learning about what came before them. When the National Park Service named us the World War II Heritage City, it wasn't just a recognition of the past. It was a vote of confidence in how we carry that legacy forward. And I assure you, Pensacola will continue to honor preserve and build upon that proud foundation.
And by the way, I know we have had many conversations on this show over the years, especially with changing access rules to the base and when it was not available to the public and now that it is again. And, you know, we've had all these conversations about what should be done with the museum. Should the museum be moved outside the fence line? Should it be, you know, relocated to an entirely different? Should the fence line, you know, what do you do? Well, okay, but it's worth remembering and kind of try to remind people of this. The museum has a military training function for the, what, 60,000 or so students who come through the base every year. And that's because they get to see the history. They get to learn the history. They get indoctrinated not just in riveting and weld making and air traffic control and backseat operations and avionics. They get taught military history, Navy history at the museum. So it's not just an add-on. It's a part of that base's value to the Navy, and just something that's maybe worth remembering once in a while.
The Navy and the Marine Corps have been essential to protecting democracy worldwide for 250 years.
That's this year, 250.
And Pensacola has played a role in nearly every chapter. From naval engagements in the Gulf to Cold War surveillance, from the global war on terror to humanitarian missions, Pensacola has sent its sons and daughters to answer the call. We have trained the pilots who protect our skies. We have supported the families who sacrifice in silence. We have stood by the flag together.
And I like his nod to Corey Station in that, all the crypto and intelligence work that they're responsible for, NAS Wedding Field, of course, which is where we actually do train the pilots. But it's a legacy of this region that we can't celebrate too often or too loudly.
As we look to the future, we must continue to invest in that bond. That means making our city, Pensacola, ever more welcoming and accessible to military families. It means supporting veteran entrepreneurship, workforce development, childcare, and mental health. It means telling our story loudly and proudly so that every new sailor and Marine arriving at NAS Pensacola knows that they are not entering a base, they are joining a community.
Absolutely. And also, it's a matter of self-preservation. The military mission carries with it massive economic consequences, but just from a war fighting, do we care about this country? Do we care about diplomacy that's backed up by the power of the military? Do we care about our military members feeling loved, cherished, appreciated? Well, that comes in things like having good quality schools and affordable housing and childcare and decent roads and access to the beaches. And I mean, like, it's the all of it. It's not, and you know, it's partially about economic preservation. It's partially about doing our duty to the country to continue to make Pensacola and remind people of what Pensacola is for the future. Now, Chandra Newman, Mama-san, Captain Newman's the commanding officer of the base. She also spoke. We'll get to that in a second. John Pickens has traffic on the fives. John?
Still rolling accident-free right now. It looks like I-10, I-110, Highway 90, 98 are actually flowing smoothly this morning. Good news on that. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much, John. If you are building a project in your house, you're remodeling, you're actually a construction professional, you build things for a living, anywhere on this scale, Pensacola Hardware is your place. Their focus is on quality. They want you to have things that work well, that hold up. You know, sometimes the hammer that's half the price isn't worth it because it only lasts a quarter as long, you know, like that kind of thing. And they want to really give you things that are going to work and last and do the job effectively, especially if you are a construction professional. They are your commercial construction supply business. They will take care of you. They speak your language. You will not have to have a translator with you or, you know, dumb it down for them to understand. They get it. They know the codes. They know the problems. They know the products. They probably know the inspectors, okay? And if you need something, they have it. If it's a special order because it's a specified product from the engineer or the architect, they can take care of you. Whatever your need is, go and ask them. Say, Andrew's always raving about you guys. What can you do for me? Because they have been helping people build, rebuild, and remodel Pensacola since 1851, right downtown at 20 East Gregory Street. 648 News Radio 92.3, back to this conversation Friday at the National Naval Aviation Museum onboard NAS Pensacola. Captain Chandra Mama-san is her call sign. Newman also spoke after Mayor Reeves.
Mayor, you talked about World War II and certainly the formidable peace and our warfighters that go and train here, not just in aviation, but every mechanic that turns a wrench, every sensor operator, every naval flight officer, every cyber warrior, 60% of our fleet calls Pensacola home for the first time coming out of boot camp. 60% of our fleet calls Pensacola home the first time they actually come into the Navy to learn their craft. More importantly, we have so many fleet returnees that come to share their knowledge after deploying multiple times to teach the next generation and to have just a little bit of respite here on her beaches.
That's an interesting take, the 60%. 60% of the Navy thinks of Pensacola as home or first touch after boot camp. That's, I mean, it's like we know but don't know, right? Just and it's borne out when you hear stories like Colton Wright talking about being on the Eisenhower and, you know, talking to people and where are you from? Santa Rosa kind of, oh, Whiting Field. You know, like, their eyes light up. This is their place. Why do they retire here, right?
So many of us that have called Pensacola home not once, but twice, ultimately decide to come here and to call Pensacola home forever. And then finally, are get laid to rest at the Barrancas National Cemetery. So quite literally, from cradle to grave is your NAS Pensacola, where your veterans serve. And the relationship that we've had for two decades with this city and this community is inextricably linked to the future and the success of our nation.
And she meant two centuries, okay? 200 years was part of the point, you know, back to the old Naval Yard or whatever. But yeah, cradle to grave Navy, you know? Or cradle... grade school, middle school, you went away on Rumsticker or whatever, Rumspringer for, you know, a while. You know, you went to other places. You went to Whidbey Island. You went to Japan, you know. But you came back here in the end, and that's kind of the point. This is your place. This is the place, particularly for Navy, also for Marines, and for, to some degree, a little to the east, but to some degree, I mean, there's Air Force mission on board NAS Pensacola, right, that we've talked about during the Meet Your Tenant Command series.
So not only do we get to celebrate our 200th birthday as an installation next year with this city, I'm proud that the five flags, the flag that flies over Pensacola today and our base is the one that we all get to fight for. And we are ready. We do train your fleet, we train the warfighters, and the relationship with this city enables that beyond any measure. And maybe I'm biased, maybe I'm proud, and maybe I'm ultimately selfish, but we do it better here in Pensacola than anywhere else in the fleet.
And that key long-term is relationship and building, protecting, managing, and providing for that relationship with the military is an essential part of not just our future, but who we are and what we celebrate. And we have to show it all the time and should show it all the time. And I think the whole Navy Days concept is a way of showing that.
There is no shortage of thanks from the bottom of my heart and from every service member and the 60,000 people that come through Pensacola and their families that are in your schools, in the churches, in the community, giving their time, effort to ultimately, if called upon, pay the ultimate sacrifice. So thank you so much, Navy Days. Thank you, Pensacola. Thank you, just the entire panhandle of Florida. This relationship will go on for another 200 if anybody in this room has anything to do with it. So thank you very much, y'all.
Pretty good stuff. Two things to note in addition to the speeches. One is, she hinted at it, do you know how many volunteer hours are provided by the students at NAS Pensacola? It's enormous. It's a huge number. If somehow that went away or just didn't happen, you know, this community would suffer tremendously. And of course, it's for their benefit too, right? That's the reason that they mandate the service, is because it's a way of teaching them service. It's a way of creating a mindset, but it's a benefit to us and to them. And then the other thing is, you know, Chairman Kohler, Board of County Commissioners, Commissioner Chairman Kohler, District 2 includes the Navy base, and he's a Navy nurse or was a Navy nurse. I forget his exact status right now, whether he's retired or not, but it doesn't matter. The point is, he's a Navy guy. And one of the big projects that we're working on right now is the renovation of the access to the front gate of NAS Pensacola, because that street is, what's the word I want? It looks like crap. It's awful. And there's an $11 million project, I think, in conjunction with FDOT to completely remodel and renovate that. They're going to have some meetings here soon about, you know, which of the options do you like the best? Where do you want the lights to be and that kind of stuff? And that's great. That's important. Because you shouldn't be, you know, driving through the equivalent of the old dilapidated chain link fence backyard alley on your way into this jewel of naval aviation and preparation and training and equipment and everything else and even tourism. You know, it shouldn't be that way. And that's a part of the project. So, you know, when you think about what's going on in terms of outside the base, when you think about what's going on in terms of what we as a community need to do, it's kind of tying all these things in together. 653 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Celebrating 15 years of excellence, Nancy's Catering and Events has been feeding Pensacola's most unforgettable occasions since 2010. Led by award-winning executive chef Gus Silivos, Nancy's team brings top culinary creations and guest experiences to the Gulf Coast area. From lavish weddings and galas to seaside crab boils and garden parties, Nancy's has you covered. For more information and to see the array of menus and services, visit nancyscateringandevents.com. Nancy's Catering and Events, where your perfect event begins.
This message is sponsored by the Florida A&M University Medical Marijuana Education and Research Initiative, the Florida Association of Broadcasters, and this radio station.
Mary on Demand is live. Start your marijuana education journey today. Learn at your own pace and check out the Medical Marijuana Education Series. You decide what you'd like to learn and when with Mary on Demand. Visit mary.famu.edu. That's mmeri.famu.edu. And remember, recreational marijuana is still illegal in Florida. Mary, educate, learn, talk.
Join Jonathan Cook from Jonathan's Flooring and Construction today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel. Jonathan will be sharing his years of expertise on flooring, including insight on materials, installation, and maintenance, plus lots of great advice on home and office remodeling, including the kitchen, bath, cabinets, and more.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
Pensacola Morning News with Andrew McKay. Mornings 5 till 9 on News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Ooh, that's a bingo.
You're unbelievable.
Good morning, 656, News Radio 92.3. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. We've got traffic on the fives with John Pickens. John?
That's right. Brought to you by Insect Pest and Lawn. Get your yard spring ready with $100 off your first treatment with the new annual contract. Call Insect today. Still rolling accident-free right now. I-10, I-110 are both still looking good. I'm not seeing any delays to let you know about. I'm John Pickens with your traffic on the fives.
You and I were talking a little bit in the break because we were talking about who's got connections here to Pensacola.
Right.
You know, you heard Mayor Reeves talking about his grandmother, Goldie, who was worked on jet engines here during the war. And you had said your grandfather?
Great-great-grandfather.
Was the conductor who operated...
And that was his train that's sitting
on Garden Street.
Mm-hmm.
That was his train.
That was his
train. That's cool.
Train.
My only connection to Pensacola is my wife's mom and dad moved here from St. Louis for a couple of years in order to get married because she was young. And you could do that legally here. You couldn't do that in,
welcome,
you know,
to the South.
Yep. Couldn't do it. Now, you know, my wife wasn't made here, but, you know, there's close ties, you know. You know, the manufacturing was elsewhere, if you want to look at it that way. But our family has ties. That's the only tie. That's the only tie we got. David Wayne's in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, the Congressional Budget Office says millions could go uninsured under the Medicaid portions of the new federal spending bill. The nonpartisan agency releasing estimates Tuesday saying Medicaid cuts could lead to over 10 million Americans losing health coverage, 7.5 million going without insurance. Major League Baseball is reinstating its all-time hits leader, the late Pete Rose. Rose, along with Shoeless Joe Jackson, both being removed from the league's banned list. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred made clear that the punishment for banned individuals should end upon their deaths.
Yeah, that's a new thing, right? That the ban, it's a lifetime ban that expires when you die. So now Pete Rose can go in the Hall of Fame. Shoeless Joe Jackson can go on the Hall of Fame. There was a bunch of players this affects that they're now. I just have always thought it was the dumbest thing to the ban for life. You know, how do you when you have a Hall of Fame that doesn't have Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose in it, you don't have a Hall of Fame.
Exactly.
Their stature in the history of the game is a condemnation of the Hall of Fame rather than them being excluded being a condemnation of them, is what I have always thought. So this is, on the one hand, it's good. It's, on the other hand, it's a little late and kind of weirdly petty, you know, in my opinion, based on what, because it's not a Hall of Virtue. It's not a Hall of Nice Guys.
Right.
It's a Hall of Fame-us baseball players. Even infamous baseball players, regardless, the point is you can't know the history of baseball without knowing Pete Rose and Shula's show. So anyway, that, yeah, I mean, I guess I'm glad.
I wish they'd taken him off the banned list before he passed.
Yeah, yeah, it was excessive. And what's funny to me is the kids of A. Bartlett Giamatti, who was the commissioner at the time that Pete Rose got banned, and a long-standing commissioner of baseball, his kids are upset because they feel like this is undermining the work that their dad did. Now, cry me a river. I mean, just, yeah, it was a mistake, and I thought it was a mistake to wait so long, but here we are. Hey, coming up next, President Trump gave a huge speech in Saudi Arabia yesterday, the second part of that dealing with Syria and why it's so important.